This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
It's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes for the November 5th meeting were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
Motion that we approve the minutes as published.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. First item on the agenda, it gives us great pleasure in welcoming our Chief Justice of the Lowndes Supreme Court. So, Mrs. Fox, we welcome you up. Those microphones are live if you want it. It's just like the legislative. You'll touch that button and it'll light up green. If you don't need it, we understand.
I don't think I need it. Okay. Thank you for having us here to speak to you. I am Chief Justice Fox. It's funny because last time I was here, it was a court, and that was a while ago. I wanted to ask Elisa Butler, our court administrator, to join me, and then also Judge Bunting and Jeremy Kisley, because they're actually the important people for this conversation. I do like to come and talk to commissioners whenever I get a chance, though, because, as I told you guys earlier, our cooperation between the courts and the counties across the state is really important. For one thing, you provide us housing for our courts. You provide the district court clerks, and there's just a lot of teamwork involved, so thank you for that. Also, you know, I love the Pledge of Allegiance. I know you heard yourself say liberty and justice for all. That's what we do, and it's really important. So I got your letter. Thank you. As you all know, Paul Jarvis will be retiring at the end of December. He has provided amazing service to the people of Johnson County. He's not here, is he? No. Well, we will thank him on another occasion, but I wanted to reassure you that you are going to be well taken care of here in Johnson County between Judge Bunting and Jeremy Kisling. And I'll let you guys talk about that since you'll be the ones doing it. But I think in the end you'll find you'll have at least as good and maybe better coverage than you have in the past. So over to you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to address all of you. It has been my pleasure to serve as circuit court judge. I am for both Sheridan and Johnson County. I'm now 11 and a half months in. They say it gets better and easier after the year mark. I'm anxiously waiting.
Plus, you went to school finally.
Exactly. I got to go to Judicial College in Reno for 12 days. It was quite intense. We had great speakers from all over the country, and I was very fortunate to attend that. I come to Buffalo on Monday mornings, handle court those days, and then I've been available the rest of the week. I try to get over another at least half day a week. As you probably know, Terry Driscoll is the chief clerk here, does an outstanding job. We've got a great staff here in Buffalo. As well as, and I have to mention them as well, Tucker Ruby, Josh Denzis, and Representative Crago, who served the Johnson County Attorney's Office. I can assure you, you are well served with those individuals at the helm, and we're very lucky. Also, Jordan Camino serves as a public defender a lot Dr. Johnson County. So it takes a lot of people to make those things work, coordinate schedules. And with our magistrate Jarvis retiring at the end of the year, we needed to get somebody else on board, and I can't, I'm very grateful that Mr. Kissling was willing to serve as a part-time magistrate, and we will be able to coordinate things that I think will provide more coverage and greater coverage in a lot of ways, especially with things like Teams and electronic signing things, that we can turn things back around so that we can keep the process of the clerk's office and the business of Johnson County moving forward. So I'll let Mr. Kissling speak.
Well, for those of you that don't know, my name is Jeremy Kissling. I do know a number of you. And while I do live in Sheridan County, I'm no stranger to Johnson County and the court system. And so I'm excited, and I've been doing a little bit. I've been in front of Magistrate Jarvis, but also been doing some magistrating just that kind of holdover, and I think it's important. Johnson County deserves to have a presence in their judiciary, and I think that Judge Bunting and the Supreme Court recognizes that, and they made this possible so that Johnson County is going to have the resources and what they need down here. So I'm excited. I think it'll be great. I have big shoes to fill. I think Magistrate Jarvis, he did it for a long time, and he did a what I would say is a great job, but I'm excited to keep some of that continuity and some of the, as Judge Bunting mentioned, electronics and some of those things that will help to ensure that Johnson County citizens are getting their day in court and having what they deserve. So I'm excited.
So you probably know this, but Jeremy has committed to, I think, at least 10 hours a week here. And I believe you have in front of you Judge Bunting's request for your approval to have him act as the magistrate. Also, as I told you guys earlier, Judge Kirvin has agreed to take over the treatment court. I think he'll be great at that. I think we've got you covered, but if you have any questions, we're happy to answer them.
Commissioners, specific questions?
No, I just appreciate you guys being here.
I guess, first, thank you for hearing our concern about losing our magistrate. I know it's a position that's kind of going away in the judicial system, and certainly we have a workload that if we didn't have the magistrate, I don't know how our two judges would handle it. And we might be before the legislature asking for the creation of another judgeship. So I think this is good for the taxpayers as well as for folks who use the court system. So we thank you for hearing the plea of Johnson County to do that. In terms of caseload and electronic filing, anything that you want to share with the commissioners or the public and press that's here on where the courts are going, certainly thoughts. We know you have a few things on your docket, things added to your docket yesterday, so it's going to be interesting.
Sure. Well, as you know, we have rolled out electronic filing in almost all the district courts and will be done by the end of the year with all the district courts throughout the state. And that has not been without some challenges, but we're getting them worked out, and I think it's going to be really successful and much easier for the litigants and the parties and the courts once we are all settled in. Next, starting in 25, we will be rolling out Circuit Court e-filing. Hopefully that will go more smoothly because of all the lessons we've learned with the district courts. It will be somewhat more challenging in a way because circuit courts have many more self-represented litigants, so people who aren't represented by attorneys will not be able to e-file. So those courts, the circuit courts, will have more handling two kinds of filings, paper and electronic. When's that full rollout going to be done for circuit court?
We anticipate it will be done by the end of 2026.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where Buffalo fits in that, but it's coming. E-filing is coming. And we, just to go back a little bit, when COVID came, the Wyoming judicial branch was as well situated as any other state court because of the technology that we had to be able to do remote hearings. And if there's any silver lining to COVID, it's that we did really move fast to using the technology to allow remote access. And that has been a big service to litigants and attorneys, especially in our state with all the miles between courts. And so we'll keep doing that more and more. And as Jeremy mentioned, a lot of the circuit court work can be done remotely via Teams. You know, there are certain kinds of hearings that don't need people to drive miles to appear at or judges to drive miles to conduct. And we're just getting pretty darn efficient. So that's my update as far as that goes.
Additional questions for the Chief Justice or any member of ours? And certainly we would open up, we are joined by both of the representatives of the County Attorney's Office in addition to Mr. Crago. So certainly I would open it up if they had any questions or thoughts.
No, thank you. We're just excited to have a magistrate, and we worked with TV magistrate Kissling, and we have a good working relationship there. And we're sad to lose him in the defense bar for Johnson County, but we'll be excited to have him to serve on the bench. And he's had some experience there, and we've dealt with him, and I feel confident that he'll do a good job, and he'll be fair, and we appreciate that very much. And we're thankful for the opportunity to have a magistrate so that it cuts down on the workload that Judge Bunting has. So we're thankful to have him.
If there are no further questions or comments, then Commissioners, before you, Resolution 741, State of Wyoming, County of Johnson, a resolution approving Circuit Court part-time magistrate in the matter of appointment of Jeremy K. Kissling as part-time magistrate for the Circuit Court of the 4th Judicial District, Johnson County, Wyoming. Circuit Court Judge of the 4th Judicial District, the Honorable Cheryl S. Bunting, having nominated the following individual for approval for appointment to the part-time magistrate, finding the public interest would be served thereby, and the individual so nominated, Jeremy K. Kissling, meeting the qualification of Wyoming Statute 59201, in that he is both a qualified elector, a resident of the 4th Judicial District, in which the Circuit Court is located, and whereas such nomination is set before the Board of County Commissioners for approval pursuant to 59201, so that Jeremy K. Kissling might be appointed to serve as a part-time magistrate within and for Johnson County, State of Wyoming, and whereas the undersigned County Commissioners find the approval on their part-time for the appointment of a part-time magistrate by the Circuit Court is in the public interest of all citizens of Johnson County, it is hereby resolved that the Board of Johnson County Commissioners approve Jeremy K. Kissling for appointment by the Circuit Court to serve as a part-time magistrate for the Circuit Court of Johnson County and hence appointed to serve continuously at the pleasure of the Circuit Court Judge for the 4th District, Johnson County, State of Wyoming, passed, approved, and adopted this 19th day of November 2024. Commissioners, there is the resolution. What's your pleasure?
I move to approve Resolution 741.
I second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. You are hereby appointed.
Thank you.
Madam Chief Justice, again, thank you for joining us. We look forward to continued solid working relationship with you and all the judges that are housed in Johnson County.
Thank you very much for your time. It's a pleasure to meet you all.
Commissioners, next item, which pertains to the courts, is a grant agreement. Jennifer, are you going to present this with the chair?
Yes.
All right.
Sorry, he was double booked today.
Good morning.
Earlier this summer, we applied for a Homeland Security SHSP grant to do ballistic film in both the Judicial Center and Justice Center for the county. We were awarded 50% of the actual bid price, understanding that it would probably be a two-year grant proposal because of the cost. The federal grant award is $107,712 for this award. Any questions? Anybody else talk?
Craig, have you had the opportunity to review this grant?
I have. Obviously, it passes muster, but I would say there's some things we should probably just be aware of. There's some new provisions in the general part of the contract, some additional requirements, and I can go over those with both, because they're exactly, this contract and the next one are exactly the same. And the one thing I would note is there's some on addendum or exhibit B, which is just, or attachment B as they call it, they just attached all the federal requirements, and it's similar to some of the provisions within the contract, and it outlines a lot of the special provisions within the contract, and then it just gets more specific, and so I think there's just some things in there. Some reporting requirements, etc., that I'm not sure we've had to do before, so we'll just have to follow up on those. But otherwise, the contract's standard state grant contract. But there's just when it's direct pass through from the feds, there's some additional requirements in there. So.
So, are you going to put in next year for the same?
Yes.
And if you don't get it, then.
Jimmy, is it every 2 years?
The grants are available every year, but the grant period lasts for 2 years.
For 2 years, okay. Yeah, the term of this grant is 2 years, but we can apply next year for the remainder. Okay. And we were under the impression that this was a project that they were very behind because of the courthouse security piece of it. So we anticipate being funded next year for the remainder.
Okay.
Can't guarantee it, of course.
Not to get into too much sensitive information about which windows and which won't. This will allow us to do 50% of the project, 75, 25.
How much? Probably 50%, okay. I think. And I think we're going to start at the Judicial Center. That's the plan. When we had our judicial walkthrough of the building, that was one of their large concerns, was the windows. So we definitely start over there. We did find out that a couple of the windows we thought were not ballistic are. So there's a couple of windows that we included in our bid cost that we are not going to have to do. So that should save us some money. And I think we're hoping to get going as soon as possible. It'll probably be next spring before we can get going because we have to get on the construction schedule and stuff like that.
Additional questions for either Ms. Jackson or the county attorney's office?
Yeah, I have a question. What does ballistic film look like?
I don't know what it looks like. I know what it does. It stops the bullet from shattering the window. I think it just allows time for retreat and action. I think if it was hit multiple times, I think it would probably, but it's like a shatterproof coating. It's ceramic, I think. I'm not real positive how it works. It keeps the bullet from going through the window for a certain amount of time.
And it is transparent?
Yeah. We're also looking at some additional additions. Like in the court clerk's entryway in their lobby, their windows are about 8 inches off the countertop. We're gonna have to do something there to keep people from going underneath the window. We're gonna have to do some kind of tray or door. There's gonna be some additional modifications. painted on top of the window.
With that, was that just things that, as that building was designed and construction, that were just constructed, just overlooked, or is it?
I think the threat level is probably higher. So our thought process is different, you know, as far as the security of staff as well as individuals in the building traveling through. The unknown factor, it just. I wasn't sure. The contract is actually named in the name of the county, not the sheriff's office. So I completed the contact information form two different ways. I think that you would sign, Sheriff.
Yeah, we have several of these that we signed, but your office will administer.
Yeah.
So. Any additional questions?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the grant?
Make a motion. We approve the grant between the Office of Homeland Security and Johnson County.
I'll second the motion.
There is a motion and a second to approve the grant agreement in the amount of $107,712. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Callahan, if you come up in.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is going to sound a lot like the last presentation, but the dollar amount's going to be slightly different. So, this is a grant award agreement between the State Homeland Security Performance Grant and Johnson County. This is in reference to handheld radios for our Sheriff's Department. This is in the amount of $55,169. And this is just like the previous grant award agreement. This is a multi-year project that we applied to the state for to fund replacing our handheld law enforcement radios. And that comes as a reason because with Motorola or any of your general radio companies, they have end of life for their technology. So every maybe 10 or so years, we have to look at replacing some of those things. This award for this current grant will procure approximately 14 radios with all accessories needed. And again, this grant is 100%. There's no cost share. It's complete pass-through, so there's no financial requirement on behalf of the county for this.
How many handheld radios are you going to be able to purchase with this grant amount?
14.
14? How many handhelds does the sheriff's office have?
You know, I don't honestly know the answer to that question. The amount we asked for, this is about 25% of the amount we're asking for, so. And the way that these multi-year projects work, they generally try to commit to being able to fund through the subsequent years, but they can't obviously guarantee that, but they do like to try and prioritize. So typically, it's a fairly good opportunity to move forward in multiple years and receive additional funding. So that's one of the reasons that we were willing to break this down as opposed to asking for all or none versus a multi-year project. That way, you're kind of guaranteed success. This should, I believe, it should cover the bulk of what we need for the coming year, and then in subsequent years, we should be able to continue to outfit the remainder.
And typically, what's the lifespan on those radios?
In my experience, it's about 10 years. Sometimes it can be extended, just depends on the technology, but it seems like every update of these radios, they seem to get more and more expensive, so there's obviously that component.
With that, then there will be no issue integrating these new radios with the upgraded radio system that we're in the process of installing.
That's correct.
These new radios don't have some of the, Marilyn, you might be able to help me. You brought the guy in to talk to us with the, they're not ham radios, but the two-way that we were using as an alternative.
You mean with the amateur radio?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, sorry. With the amateur radio?
Yeah. Will these radios communicate with those amateurs at all or not?
I don't believe so, because these operate on, I believe, 700 megahertz, where most of your ham stuff is operating down in like the 140 range, typically. With the upgrade of the system that we're currently doing, we're talking about adding a GMRS repeater down at the Tisdale Tower that's being added, that's almost finished at this point, as well as maybe adding another additional mobile repeater, so that, that would act as a fallback network that we can use with our amateur radio group. And some of that, these handhelds are independent of that, to answer your question in a very roundabout way. But a lot of the amateur radio equipment that goes in is either sometimes procured and donated by the group, or that's something that, that the county will, is, you know, that I typically discuss with them about doing. But the cost for that type of equipment versus this type of equipment is substantially different. It's much, much less expensive.
Any additional questions about the grant or radios in general?
No. Make a motion that we approve the grant between the Department of Homeland Security and the and Johnson County.
Second that.
There is it properly moved and seconded to approve the grant agreement. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Jimmy, while we have you here, can you just quickly go over the new mitigation dollars that are made available for the House Trail Fire, as well as just a general update on where we are on the radio upgrade system?
Sure. You know, as you all know, that immediately following the admission of the House Trail Fire, we did receive federal fire mitigation assistance grant. So with one of those grants, we're automatically qualified to receive a hazard mitigation grant, and given the way that this all played out, the amount of money that we have first dibs to apply for in this hazard mitigation is $985,000. And that has to do with just rehabilitating or working to mitigate against future wildfires, similar to what we experienced with the house draw. The biggest advantage I see to this, and some of the things that, that have come up in early discussions, has been reseeding, so that can go towards costs of reseeding to plant, you know, good non-noxious weed type substances. I know that's one of the biggest concerns that we have regarding recovery from the house draws, Ventanata and cheatgrass. So this is a very good opportunity to move forward with that. And the way the hazard mitigation funds work in the state is when opportunities like this present themselves, the whole state can apply for them, but we get first dibs. And obviously, given the reasons that we're obtaining this this funding, as well as kind of what has plagued the state of Wyoming as of late, it's they're really the emphasis on wildfires. So we can apply for other mitigation projects and we using those funds, but their primary focus is wildfire. And so I've reached out to our state forestry officer, our local guide, to work on having some discussions, and then obviously Commissioner Bonnie Ive emailed back and forth about it briefly, about putting together a group. We've got about 5 months to kind of come up with some ideas of how we would like to spend that money and then subsequently apply. So that's some of the money that's come our way from the feds. I can tell you, as of yesterday, I had a meeting with Homeland Security, and they said that given the amount of damage to Powder River Energy, that this is now been a declaration accepted by FEMA. So there's a meeting with FEMA today, and then there will be another one coming up here shortly in Cheyenne that I'm going to attend to just discuss moving forward and what that looks like. So it's somewhat vague at this moment, but it is now, we have, it seems as though we've achieved a FEMA fire status on that. So, but that has to do with public assistance and any sort of infrastructure damage that was sustained. So primarily we're talking about Powder River Energy. As of yesterday, it sounded like about $1.6 million in loss. So. And then regarding the radio upgrade system, that's moving forward. I was up at the tower yesterday, and I'm just shy of hooking up our propane tanks or generator that's in there and doing some exhaust work on the generator to make sure that we're well ventilated. It's just up to the company. They've been working on trying to get a crane up there to replace the tower that was damaged and getting all that going, and it's been kind of a challenge with the weather. So as of yesterday, speaking with them, they're talking hopefully next week we're going to get that up. And then that all the electrical work on the tower is finished, so it's just a matter of Rocky Mountain Power hooking that up. And then speaking with the electricians yesterday, they said that it's about 3 weeks out typically that Rocky Mountain gets to get out and get everything set up. So we're getting really close to having that thing finished. I gutted that thing and replaced a bunch of the fencing up there, foamed it in, and trying to get rid of all of our critters and everything. So it looks like we're real close. So. And then regarding the rest of the towers, to my knowledge, all the antennas have been replaced, all the hardware's been replaced, and I'm also waiting on just some reprogramming coordination. So once all that's done, I think we'll be all wrapped up with that. So.
And then final question, because I do see a member of the Rural Healthcare District Board here as well as the county attorney. If we had any response from Bighorn Mountain Radio Network on the two generators, because I know the idea has been floated of repurposing one of those generators at the new ambulance barn. It was an asset that was purchased with Homeland Security money, so it would be a good use of asset to help our emergency response folks hopefully save the district a little bit of money as they begin their construction project. So I don't know, Mr. Ruby or Mr. Kelly, if you've got any update on where we are with the radio folks.
So I spoke to I'm assuming it was the owner, I don't know who it was, but I spoke to someone from Bighorn Mountain Radio once I was able to get a contact number from them. Told them we wanted to get those generators back. I got the number for their basically IT guy, and then I provided that to Dave Eads and instructed Mr. Eads that he needed to coordinate with that individual to get those picked up. I've not heard an update from him about if we have picked those up or not, but I can inquire with Mr. Eads and report back. But that's the latest that I know on that.
To my knowledge, we did pull them and they're no longer there. So last I heard, they were over at Bighorn Electric where they were storing them for us until we figured out what we wanted to do with them. Thank you.
Commissioners, the next item on your agenda is payment of the vouchers. Were there any bills that you felt needed to be pulled or had additional questions for the clerk?
I didn't see anything today.
Looks like the total amount was $255,365.92.
Make the motion to approve.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to approve the vouchers. Any discussion?
No.
Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I do just want to ask, we'll hear public comment, and then we need to have just a quick executive session for an update on pending litigation. So we will do that. It should be very quick. There won't be any action taken after, I don't believe. So with that, before we call for public comment, is there any additional business that the commissioners need to transact? We are then at a point on our agenda, and we would welcome any public comment for the county commissioners. comment? Public comment? Public comment? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment, and I would entertain a motion to move into executive session pursuant to Wyoming statute covering pending litigation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.